Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 2:55 p.m. That is Central Time. Today is May 30th. I think there are three competing narratives in the market right now, are certainly competing for attention of investors. The first would be that we had a lot of bombastic comments over the weekend about the debt ceiling, and a deal was agreed, and it's quite likely to pass, and it'll probably pass on a bipartisan level. And I think a lot of people will be enthused by that the extremes at either end of the chasm between the parties will probably vote against it, but that the moderates in the middle of both parties will vote for it, and the potential for a disaster will be avoided, which I think was the base case at the beginning anyway. And we haven't had a lot of movement as a result of that in the markets, so it was adequately priced in. Now we have the second narrative, and that is that artificial intelligence is still going to be the go-to sector, that it is going to take over our lives, and that it has got such wonderful promise and threat that it's something that you absolutely have to have a position in. And then you have the third narrative, which is oil prices are down $3, and this is a downtrend, and the price has been falling in a really quite concerted manner now for most of the last year. And that is despite the fact that OPEC has been talking about reducing supply, and Saudi Arabia threatening traders that they're going to rain hellfire down on them. But then there's increasing evidence that Russia has not followed through on its supply cuts. So then, is there the potential that we're going to have a little bit of competition within OPEC? And will the cohesive image that they've offered to the world break down over the course of the next few months? But certainly the oil price is pulling back from the 1,000-day moving average. Now, then you have the additional question related to that is what's happening with China? I do think this is one of the more front and center questions. So the H share index has been trending downwards. Now it was a little bit steadier in here today, and it is oversold in the very short term, but this is still a downtrend, and it has encountered resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average and failed to sustain the move above it. So it's going to have to do better. It's going to have to at least sustain a move above 6,800 in order to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. But then what's also rather interesting is we're starting to see competitive forces appearing within the solar sector, and there's the potential that this will migrate into other sectors. One of the most important themes within Chinese industry is duplication. And there has been massive duplication of manufacturing capacity in any sector where China has sought to be the leader. So that is true of solar panels, because, and I think that tends to hit a lot of headlines because of the desire to pioneer new renewable energy. But certainly the solar sector has been very range bound over the last 18 months and has been trending downwards since the peak in early 2021. And now the bigger question is, if you have the biggest manufacturers of solar panels in the world starting to engage in a price war, that could be potentially beneficial for consumers. So, for example, when we think about a company like Sunrun, well, they're very interest rate sensitive, but they buy a lot of panels. They don't produce them, so they're not competing with the manufacturers. So they will benefit from lower costs for panels. But then, of course, you have First Solar, and they do compete with some of those Chinese producers. So are they going to be able to survive in an environment where the world is flooded with excess capacity? Now we have the slowdown in Chinese infrastructure development and in the property sector. So that is going to hit things like the glass sector, the cement sector, coal, and obviously then there are significant issues. If the Chinese economy is going to contract, that's going to hit a lot of commodity demand. And the obvious one to pay attention to is copper. And copper prices were a bit steadier last week, a little bit weaker in here today. But by and large, this has broken the sequence of higher reaction lows since June of last year. It is now pausing in the region of the 1,000-day moving average, and it has a lot of work to do in order to repair the damage done to the trend. So when we then think about the renminbi, it was weaker in here today, and that is despite the fact that with the debt ceiling question being resolved, one would then anticipate that the dollar should be weaker because they're going to be printing an awful lot more of them in order to re I guess restock the inventory of the US Treasury. So the dollar index was a little bit weaker in here today and is now testing at the region of the high from back in March and the 200-day moving average. So it's a potential area of resistance. And in response to just very mild weakness in the dollar, gold was up $16, and this is an upside key day reversal. So now, if we get follow through on the upside tomorrow, that will confirm support in the region of the lower side of this range. It's been forming for the last 2 months, and this will also bolster the view that this is not much more than a consolidation in the region of the upper side of the 3-year high. But I think it's particularly relevant that gold is testing the upper side of its range. Oil prices are on the cusp of breaking downwards. And that does help to highlight that gold is pricing in the clear potential that there will be a wall of new money created in the if the potential outcome of slowing economic growth, which would hit oil prices, actually comes to fruition. Then let's pay attention to what's happening within some of those artificial intelligence companies. So Nvidia, for example, popped on the upside, gapped higher again in here today, but did not hold it. And then when we look at the semiconductors index, it also gapped higher, but then has given up most of the advance. And Marvell Technologies had really surged on Friday last week, but then started to ease back a little in here today. So an awful lot of good news has been priced in. When we look at some of the steadier examples, well, Texas Instruments, for example, really hasn't been performing, but then it's not a pure play on artificial intelligence, even if they have autonomous or they have chips that are aimed at autonomous type instruments. And then you have Qorvo, which isn't either a pure play on artificial intelligence, but it is probably going to benefit from the evolution of the AR or virtual reality headsets. And of course, Broadcom had done exceptionally well last week, and that was on the back of a deal that it has struck with Apple. But then it surged to new highs in here today and then was not able to hold them. So I think there is certainly potential here that the short-term move that we've had on the upside may be beginning to run out of steam. Of course, I closed out my short position right before that, so that wasn't exactly propitious timing. But I won't be shy about initiating a fresh short if I see additional weakness starting to come through here. And then if we look at the Nasdaq 100, well, it has been really quite firm and has exceeded the peak from back in August. So it has broken the sequence of lower rally highs, and it is sufficiently overextended in the very short term that we could easily have a pullback of about 1500 points, and then it would still be in the region of the 200-day moving average. So it has plenty of room in which to consolidate if this is indeed a new recovery that's been underway. And bond yields at the long end of the curve were a little bit tighter in here today, so down about 10 basis points. And certainly there is the scope that if deflationary forces prevail coming out of China with lower energy prices overall, and then slowing economies outside of the AI sector, then it's reasonable that we should anticipate that bond yields should contract. And ultimately, we will have the shorter end of the curve coming in. But there's not a lot of evidence to that effect just yet. And bond investors are still pricing in the potential that there will be at least one more interest rate hike, and that we might get all the way out to the end of the year before we get the first interest rate cut. Of course, I'm very much of the view that the first interest rate cut generally coincides with the worst of the selling pressure within the stock market. So, because they won't cut rates until they absolutely have to. Nonetheless, I think it's particularly important to pay attention not only to the retailers, but also to companies specifically like Walmart, where they employ 2 million people. So, in the event that it breaks on the downside and it is weakening, then that is likely to take a toll. Then the within what I can only describe as the culture wars, Target is breaking on the downside. So this is also a dividend aristocrat, and there are several of the dividend aristocrats are rolling over here. Some are taking some flak because of the exposure to commercial real estate, others because they're part of the culture wars like Target, and then still more because they're being outcompeted. But the broad dividend aristocrats sector was weaker today, but has not yet broken on the downside. But we are definitely getting quite a bit of divergence between the Nasdaq and the Dow Jones Industrials. So the Dow was down in a fairly dynamic manner in early trading and recouped its decline, whereas the Nasdaq did the opposite. So I do think there's a pairs trade going on here at present. And of course, Microsoft, Apple, and Salesforce are both constituents. Are excuse me, are constituents of both of those indices, and Microsoft is looking a little bit overbought in the short term. I think that there's clearly the potential that we could see some unwinding of the short-term overbought conditions on some of these technology shares, and we're still in a very tight liquidity environment overall. And then when we look at the high yield sector, the ETF continues to encounter resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average, even if it was a little bit steadier in here today. Then I think it's just going back to the coal China question. If China's economy does experience a lot of stress, then that's going to put pressure everywhere. And the Australian dollar is trending downwards, and the New Zealand dollar has pulled back really quite sharply in response to the central bank announcing that they're done with raising interest rates. And the South African rand was a little bit steadier yesterday, but is still right in the region of its lows. Now it's very oversold, but there's precious little in the way of a clear policy to arrest the decline in the economy. Then Latin American currencies continue to be some of the clear beneficiaries, and the Mexican peso was a little weaker in here today, but the trend is still very much intact. they're likely to be among the best or the biggest beneficiaries of reshoring, and therefore the there is going to be a reordering of priorities, and the countries and companies that rely most heavily on exports to China, well, they obviously have an additional risk premium attached. Then you have Elon Musk speaking today and saying how essential business in China is, and of course they sell an awful lot of cars there, and that's basically rowing in behind CEOs of Daimler and BMW saying pretty much the same thing. Tesla now is right in the region of that psychological $200 level in the region of the 200-day moving average. So this is the first area of potential resistance following this rebound that's been underway for the last 2 months. It's going to have to do better than this, though. It's going to have to sustain a move above $200 in order to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And I think it's quite interesting that Bitcoin is steady, but it's not doing much. And this is, I think, both a response to higher speculative interest, but then also because we haven't had a big splurge of new liquidity just yet. And a lot of the money that the US Treasury is going to be spending first has to be siphoned out of reserves somewhere else. So then the big question is, if interest rates don't come down anytime soon, then what's that going to mean for the banking sector? Now, it was in mildly positive territory in here today and continuing to steady from the region of the lows put in both March and May. But it's got an awful lot of work to do. And then the regional banks index has got a lot of exposure to commercial real estate, and it is steady, but hasn't quite yet broken the sequence of lower rally highs yet. So I think this headwind of tighter monetary policy hasn't been completely averted yet. And despite the enthusiasm around artificial intelligence, the toll of tighter liquidity will eventually contribute to less risk tolerance. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.